We'll need the Lord's help this morning. Ask for your prayers. The Lord would bless our time of looking together into His Word. Appreciate His Word and His faithfulness to us. I'd like to begin in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Consider the burden the Lord has given me of 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Beginning in the 6th verse, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondsmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." The Lord is letting him know here that you are a special people. You know you're special to the Lord today. The Lord loves you. He cares about you. And he has something special that he has called us unto. He said you're a holy people unto the Lord your God. You're called out of the nations and the lands round about you. But the Lord didn't call you out. He didn't do all this for you because you were something in and of yourself. It's not because you were mightiest in number. It's not because of who you were, but because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord had mercy upon you and showed his favor unto you. So remember that. Lest we ever become vaunted in ourselves and in our minds of who we are and what we're able to do. And well, I could say I've known the truth all my life. Well, I was raised, my grandpa, my great-grandparents. You know, I have nothing but for the Lord and His mercy and His love. But thank the Lord for that. That the Lord desires to show the same faithfulness unto us that He did the generation before us. I want to think of the significance of 1,000 generations. Do you have any ballpark idea how many generations have passed from the creation of this world? Have we surpassed 1,000? Let's start there. You think we've already crossed over the threshold of 1,000 generations? Well, there are some clues that we have. I don't think we know exactly. But we are have recorded of the genealogy of Christ that there were 42 generations, I believe it was, from Abraham to Christ. And before that, if you read the genealogies given from Adam unto Abraham, I believe it was 20. That would make 62 generations from the time God created the first man and woman to the time that the prophecy of the seed of the woman was fulfilled in Christ and he was born here in this earth. 62 generations. In the years that have passed since then, approximately 2000-ish, you know about how many generations have passed in that time? Again, it's not something exact, but if you say 25 years per generation, that would say that there have been 80 generations that have passed since the time of Christ. That brings us to what? 142 generations, or thereabout. Are we close to the 1,000 yet? Where the Lord's faithfulness has expired. Where the Lord's promises are null and void. Where they no longer extend. Where they've hit their expiration date. We are nowhere near. And by the way, if we could count up and we could say, you know what, we're getting close to 1,000. We could very easily look into Scripture and say, you know, 1,000 was used to to represent a vast number that is beyond numbering. So it was, the Lord owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. In other words, you look out there, as many hills as you can see, the Lord owns the cattle on every one of those. The Lord, know this. Know this in your generation and mine, that the Lord God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. The promise that God made to Abraham so many years and generations before the time of Christ, and even before this time when this was given unto them. Remember how many times they say, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is your God, to remind you that just as God worked for your forefathers, He's the same God. He hasn't changed today. So cry unto Him. Cry unto the God of your fathers, because He's still the same God today. He doesn't change. The history of God's people is a checkered one. You read of the history of the children of Israel, this same people that God called out of Egypt and that He called to make a nation out of them, peculiar, holy, unique from all the nations around about Him. And yet how many times does the thread of their story weave in and out, in and out? Sometimes following after the Lord with all their heart, and then soon after forgetting the Lord their God and going after the gods of this world. How many times would one generation know the Lord, and then the generation that came behind them, they forgot His ways. They didn't learn or know of who this God was. The 11th chapter of Deuteronomy tells us this in the 18th verse. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets before your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And the Lord continued on, if we were to read it, to give promises of what the blessings were that would befall them if they would follow these commandments. The instruction that the Lord gave unto this generation: teach your children. You know, the Lord's plan and design was never that this die out in a generation. It was never that this thing be a short-lived experiment. Something that God did among a people that was special and it was just left to the pages of history. The Lord had a plan that He told the parents, you have the responsibility, and what a charge it is to us as parents. Lord, help us that we not let die with my generation the things that God has done, but that I teach them diligently to my children, to the generation that's coming behind me. Know the Lord. Know Him for yourself, to be able to have experiences, not just stories. The stories are important. Teach your children the Bible stories. Learn them for ourselves, because it is the same God, the God that stood in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is the same God that promises to stand in our fiery furnaces. The same God that parted the waters for the children of Israel, He's still the same God today that will part the bonds of sin and the captivity of sin to set the captive free. He's the same God. Times have changed. People have changed. We ourselves might change, but God will never change. Thank the Lord that we can depend on His faithfulness. But again, I come back to what He's saying here. Make sure you pass it on. Make sure you pass this down, because this is designed, intended to be passed from one generation to the next generation to the next generation, all the way down through time. It's like the links of a chain. One link connects the link behind it, connects the link behind it. And I'm challenged to say, Lord, help me that this link not be broken. That all those who come behind me would be cast away and might never know. Oh, the Lord is faithful to deal with every soul, and yet we have a responsibility to pass it to the generation that follows. You remember whenever the priest went through the Jordan River, the instruction that they were given? Each of you pick up a stone, and you carry that stone over, and on the other shore, you set up a monument of those stones. And whenever your children come along, your children that weren't here this day to see for themselves, you've got a story to tell them. And when you're walking by, say, children, come here for a minute. Come here, I want to show you something. Gather around here, I want to tell you a real story that happened. I saw this for myself. Let me tell you what the Lord did. Let me tell you how when we put our trust in the Lord and we obeyed Him. Let me tell you how there was a river of water all the way across and the Lord said, go over. And it wasn't until we first stepped our foot into the water that the water parted. Let me tell you what happened of how we went across. It was the charge given unto each generation. Don't let this die. Don't let this just be relegated to the dustbin, as they say, of history. Keep it alive. Alive in your own life, in your own heart, that you can have your own experiences to point your children to and say, let me tell you not only what the Lord did for Grandpa, for Brother Abraham, I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. When I was sick and I put my trust in the Lord, I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. Whenever I was in need and I cried out to God, how He answered prayer on my behalf. Throughout that checkered history that we referenced, the times of up and down, times of revival and times of apostasy. Times when people were going after the Lord and times when they were going away from the Lord. I want us to get a hold of this. God always had a remnant. He always had a people. Throughout all of those seasons and all of those times, there were still those who held faithful to God in their generation, in their time. So it was that Brother Noah, whenever so many, you realize that had to have been cousins, nieces, nephews, all kinds of extended relatives and friends and neighbors, and all of them going after the ways of the world, all of them turning away from God. Yet Brother Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was faithful in his generation. The Lord counted on Brother Noah. Noah was faithful. There were only, was it eight? Eight souls, I believe, on the ark. Amidst, we don't know what the census was at that time. But likely millions of people already on the face of the earth at that time. And eight souls were faithful. Folks, don't get discouraged. In this, our generation, let's purpose in our hearts to be faithful and true unto God. And I'm jumping ahead with that, but I want that to be our heart's prayer throughout this. Brother Elijah, you remember whenever the prevailing mood was starting to shift towards Baal, and by wholesale, by the king and the queen, and it appeared unto Elijah just about everybody else was falling headlong after Baal. You understand how discouraging that would be? Whenever you're trying to be faithful, when you're trying, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and you see this one go after Baal. And then this one that you've held sweet company with, that you've worshiped God together with, you look over and you see them, no, they're going up to the temple of Baal. No, not them. Brother, would you please? No, he's gone. And another one. Over the years that you see more and more and more apostasy towards idolatry, and yet you're trying to be faithful. Well, we know the story of Elijah without belaboring it, how the Lord showed on Mount Carmel that he was the true God, but how Elijah still was running for his life after that and saying, Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. Lord, it's like it's all finished now. Lord, just go ahead and take me on to heaven because there's nothing left here. And the Lord said, no. Elijah, I've got 7,000 beside you that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Folks, whenever we can't see it, whenever it looks discouraging all around us, whenever it looks like in our generation, the ebb and the flow, and maybe some going away from God, maybe in mass, maybe the prevailing winds are of spiritual decay. The prevailing attitude maybe is tending away from God and godliness. Don't be discouraged. Folks, you are not alone. God has had a remnant all throughout the timeline of history. He has still had those that he's been able to preserve and that have kept their hearts faithful to God. It didn't end with Elijah, did it? Oh, Brother Daniel, there are things that I don't know about that generation. I've wondered about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the decree went out. Everybody bow your knee. Were they the only Israelites in the whole company? I don't know. I think it was more the rulers and all that they called to that assembly. Were there perhaps Israelites who had begun to adopt the ways of idolatrous Babylon? I think it's very likely it was. To what extent, I don't know. But what I do know, there were three young men who stood that day when no one else stood. In their generation, when it looked like everyone around them was going the wrong way, they stood. They were faithful. Brother Jeremiah and others of the prophets, whenever Israel was running from their God, going after idolatry, and they seemed to be the lone voice crying out. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he was faithful. And not he alone, but how often it can feel like, it can appear that I am, if not all alone, that I am a vast minority of people that are still endeavoring to do what's right, that are still endeavoring to go after the Lord with all their heart. I'd like to look at the 78th chapter of Psalms as we move away from Deuteronomy here. Psalm 78. The fifth verse says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You see how this system is to work? God is still the same throughout it all. He is available to every generation that will call after Him. Teach it to your children so that your children can teach it to their children. and their children can teach it to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. How important it was for them to teach the generations that followed. It didn't always happen very well. Not in mass. How many times of apostasy? You think about the time of kingdom of Josiah. At that time, he was dealing with a lot of apostasy. It was about 300 years after the dividing of the kingdom. And Ahab had come in that intervening time. The kingdom of Ahab, that was the time of Elijah and all of the apostasy towards Baal. Manasseh and his evil reign was in that span of time. There were so many wicked kings and wickedness that had been brought into the kingdom, and that had changed what worship of God meant and what it looked like. By the time Josiah came on the scene, remember, his high priest found, as almost like they were rummaging around, they found this scroll and opened it up and began reading it. And it was the law. Josiah, with a tenderness of heart, he read that and he began to weep. And, oh God, have mercy on us. It brought a revival and a reform in his day, as he required of it. Josiah was faithful, and God was faithful to meet Josiah. This God of 1,000 generations, in the midst of a generation that had drifted away from the true worship of God, when there were some who would cry out from their heart, God, we didn't know this. You know what it tells me? There were some generations that didn't do what we read about in Deuteronomy and Psalms. Teach it to your children. Pass this down to them. Make sure they get a hold of it. Evidently, by the time of Josiah, that had not been occurring generations preceding Josiah. And yet, this God of 1,000 generations was right there to meet them, to reveal His Word, to reveal Himself unto them. I'd like to turn to Malachi. We progress down this timeline. Book of Malachi. Malachi was another dealing with a people who had fallen away from the true worship of God. If you read through the book of Malachi, and he was dealing with them on things like, why are you going to offer that to God which is lame and broken? And why are you going to make a mockery of your worship to God? You're going through motions and you're bringing sacrifices and offerings to God, but it's really just a mockery. Would you offer that unto your governor? You think he would accept that? No. So why are you offering it to God? A call to come back to God. That's part of the faithfulness of who God is. To a generation that goes away, He will endeavor to call after, to deal. And He dealt with them there. Malachi, the 3rd chapter. I'd like to read here the 16th verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. You know, even in the time of Malachi, and as I hope we've been able to bring out throughout this timeline of the checkered history of God's people, there were still those that were faithful to God. There were still those in every season and every time whose heart was true to God, that He was able to work with. And here it says, they that feared the Lord. You know, it's going to have to be in our generation a fear of God that we get for ourselves. The precepts of men is not going to be enough. Having a head knowledge of what our fathers knew and taught will not be enough. We're going to have the fear of God for ourselves upon our own hearts. That's what Joseph had. Whenever he went into a foreign and a strange land and was the only one of his people, You know what? They weren't going to know if he didn't make it out to church. They weren't going to know if he wasn't there for prayer meeting. Of course, I'm modernizing his account. But you understand the point? They weren't going to know if he wasn't serving God with a fervency. They weren't going to know if he wasn't putting his whole heart into it. And in the shadows of a room of temptation, the fear of God on Joseph's heart made him say, "How could I do this great wickedness against the God of heaven?" And the fear of God kept him. They that feared the Lord, even with apostasy and compromise all around them, they that fear the Lord, they were still there. And it says, they spake often one to another. You know, it makes me think of the scripture in Hebrews, I believe it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So much more as you see the day approaching, as the times get more and more perilous, may we be faithful in our generation to be as those here in Malachi's day that spake often one to another. Brother, be of good courage. Brother, be of good cheer. Don't fall away. I know you're facing some persecution, some opposition. Maybe even, brother, I know your wife. I know your children. I know your loved ones have gone after the ways of paganism. Brother, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Be true and faithful to God. I don't know what their prayer meetings look like, but I know they met often one to another with another. As they had opportunity, they spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. Folks, why do we do what we do? Do we do it just because it's what our parents and our grandparents did? It's what's expected? Well, we got service times out on the board. I guess people are going to expect us to be here. Why do we do what we do? You know, the Lord hearkens to what we do. No matter how small, no matter how seemingly trivial or insignificant, folks, every deed of devotion to the Lord, every act of faithful service to God, the Lord hearkens to that. The Lord sees whenever I say, "Lord, I'm going to steal away here in the busyness of the day. I'm going to steal away here for a little bit. Lord, would you talk to my heart? Lord, I'm going to call my brother and try to be an encouragement." You know, the Lord hearkens to those things. Folks, don't feel like, "Well, there's nothing I can do. Well, is it of any use anymore?" Look at us here today. In the world's eyes, just a small group of us. What are we going to do then? Let's just fold our hands and shut the door and, "No, Lord, help me to be one of those that speaks often one to another. Be of good cheer." Let's think upon the things of the Lord. Let's remind ourselves. Let's stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Brother, wake up. Sister, wake up. Let's not allow ourselves to be lulled into the drowsiness of our generation. The Lord hearkened unto them. Oh Lord, hearken unto us. Lord, when we gather together in this place or wherever we assemble together, Lord, would you hearken from heaven? Where two or three are gathered in my name, Lord, would you meet with us? And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and the thought upon his name. Folks, it doesn't really matter. It matters. It hurts to see those going away. It hurts to see folks making decisions that lead them further and further away from the paths of righteousness. It hurts. But it really doesn't matter for my soul. It must not matter. I must not allow it to affect what I do. Though 1,000 should fall at one hand and 10,000 at another, I cannot let it come nigh unto me. Lord, help me to be faithful. 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter 1 and 20th verse, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, just as the Lord preserved people throughout time, a remnant, you know, God also preserved His Word. He preserved His commandments. He preserved His law throughout the generations of the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs. It wasn't man's word. It wasn't just man's commandments. Or it might have been lost. But I want us to be encouraged to know that God is able to preserve to all generations, to 1,000 generations, His Word and His ways. And you know, it didn't stop in the time of Peter. I believe we're going to have to close here in a little bit and maybe pick this, the rest of this up later. You know, that history has spanned from that time to this. And there has been opposition that I'd like, if the Lord permits, for us to consider maybe later today. There has been opposition to the cause of God, time immemorial, all the way from the beginning to today. There have been forces of the enemy that have come against, that have opposed in varying degrees, flavors, or ways, that the enemy has come against the people of God with the effort, the intention to stamp it out, to stop it, to squash it, to mute it, to cause it to die out over and over and over again. That the enemy has said, we got to put this thing out. We got to stop this. And yet God has preserved throughout all the generations and to 1,000 to come, as long as time stands, God has a way to preserve His people. Those that will remain true and faithful unto Him, He'll preserve us and preserve His Word. Where there are questions about, well, can we really trust this Bible that we have today? I want us to know the God of 1,000 generations is able to preserve His Word to this one. He's able to preserve it from corruption and pollution and the questions that might arise about, well, you know, this word wasn't translated just right, and this doesn't really seem to give the true sense of the Scripture. Don't get discouraged. Instead of getting discouraged, get acquainted with the author, because He has preserved His Word throughout all the generations of time. He has preserved it for us that we might know Him, that we might know His Word and His law and His ways. Have you ever heard of entropy? Entropy, simply described, is the tendency, really, of things, of all of nature, to progress, or rather regress, to a state of more and more disorder and chaos and destruction. It's why when you put a piece of wood out in the weather and exposed to the elements, over time it won't get stronger. If it's dead piece of wood out there, it's not going to get stronger. It's not going to improve in quality or durability or strength. It will decay over time. Buildings are not going to improve over time. They're not even going to stay the same without maintenance and effort. They're going to decay more and more. And you know, that is the tendency over the generations. That things and even matters of truth that are sacred, over generations, the tendency is for them to degrade, for them to decay. That's the tendency, naturally. But the God of 1,000 generations preserves his own and is able to keep his own. Well, I want to get a song here. Brother Donald wrote, "The church is moving on. Few there be in size and number. She's unlike the church of men, but the quality within her is what? It's the same when first began. Spiritual entropy does not have to happen. We don't have to have some lesser degree of relationship with the Lord, of connection with God. We don't have to settle for some watered down version of truth. That we can have access ourselves to the same thing given and preserved throughout time, throughout all the generations to 1,000 and beyond. He's able to preserve it." Maybe we'll close for this morning in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let's think about this New Testament dispensation a little more. Matthew 16, Jesus introducing the plan that he had for his church. 18th verse, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Oh, the gates of hell are going to press against it. They're going to oppose. They're going to fight on every hand. Whether it's Herod, it's Saul, it's the Pharisees and the religious leaders, whether it's the Roman emperors and their brutality, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. But I want us to also remember what the promise was there in Deuteronomy of 1,000 generations unto them. There's a caveat. There's a requirement on the people. To them that love him and keep his commandments, he'll keep covenant for 1,000 generations. If we'll do our part, if we'll stand faithful unto God. Folks, the Lord has a way of preserving us individually, and he will preserve his church until he comes again for it. And I want to be a part of that number. I want to be there. I want to be one that's not been swept away, that's not lost his way, but that whenever he returns, he might find faith in me. You pray for me. Amen.